This is Embracing Change with Lakrita Bowman and Jennifer Osborne. Welcome back to the Embracing Change podcast. We are so glad you have joined us again. We are at episode 17, and we are continuing our series on changing the person in the mirror. We hope that you've enjoyed prior episodes. If you have, we would really love to hear from you. Any questions, comments, email those to the email address that is in the description of the podcast. How are you doing today, Lakrita?
I'm good. It's the fourth day of the year already, 2021. I'm good.
Happy New Year.
Yeah,
so glad. Everyone. So glad 2020 is over.
I'm not going to say I'm glad it's over. I'm glad that we made it to 2021. And so because of such of the devastating situations that came and arised up in 2020 that raised its head to different structures, as we're going to talk about, the economy structure, the, you know, race structure, the medical structure. I think that, you know, with the pandemic, it came up in medical form, financial for people losing their jobs, educational structure of this world. I think that, yeah, you know, when you are building structures and formats, 2020 was one that every structure was shaken, and that which remained was solid, and that which needs to be changed was brought to a root of awareness. So I'm grateful for that.
That's a good perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And if you did not gather, folks, we are going to be talking about the subject of structure and how that relates to change. And Lakrita, when you think about the structure of change, what's the first thing that kind of comes to mind for you as you're looking at that?
Build.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I think that in order for you to deal with a structure of change, you've got to decide how you're going to build it, how you're going to construct it, what is it going to look like, how is it going to operate. And I think that sometimes you also have to be willing to destruct the build that you already had. So whatever thing you've already built, so it comes up to building and built. And I think you have to be willing to destruct and go through some reconstruction of what you've already built. And so you can rebuild another structure of what it's going to look like to be different. So I just feel like you have to be willing to build. You have to be willing to tear down and reconstruct. That is another word. I have about five different perspectives when it comes to structure. I think that, you know, to construct a new thoughts, new ideas, new perspective, I think that structure is, it keeps you in a full-blown opportunity to kind of box you in. It creates accountability. Structure creates opportunities for you to see yourself differently. I've known some people who cannot live without it. It helps to create routines and disciplines. And so, yeah, I think that when I think about structure, I think about building.
I want to go back to the one thought that you had about deconstructing.
Mm-hmm.
So that can be a scary thought. When they're looking at that with the thought of rebuilding, what's an encouragement you can give to make that process a little bit easier of deconstructing? Because that's literally tearing down something that maybe they've been very used to.
Exactly. And I think the most encouraging thing that I would say, it's almost like, I don't know if people saw this movie, A Beautiful Mind. And let's talk about that. And he was not always seeing, there was not really real people. And you didn't really see that until almost in the middle of the movie, that the people he had created in his mind, because he was such a genius, he had to reconstruct how he was going to make sure he was living in reality. And the way he did that was he would ask people, do you see this little girl? Do you see this man? Not to be ashamed. I think that that was naked and unashamed. That in order to deconstruct lack, you know, non-truths, or to reconstruct or destruct old, new realities, you know, new ones, old ones, patterns of thinking, I believe you have to hold yourself accountable to someone and bounce things off and ask them, because sometimes as I learned in my process of my journey, my best thinking got me in trouble. And so if I wasn't willing to bounce that thought off, run that thought by someone to see if they would either concur with the thinking I'm having, or would they believe that the thinking I'm having is a little off, or giving me new perspective, or giving me other options. So to deconstruct something, to tear it down, you have to check it in.
And that's having accountability. We talked about that last episode.
Exactly.
Having a good accountability to help you walk through that.
Exactly.
So it sounds like even in the deconstruction and then the build, you need that person to walk alongside you to help you figure that whole process out.
Exactly.
Like if you believe something that's not true, or you have maybe a pattern in your life that's not good.
Exactly. And it can be anything. You got to realize that even, you know, some of the things have worked for a while doesn't mean that it's going to continue to work because we grow and we evolve, or life changes. Writing was a great thing at one point, but now using the computer is greater. So one or the other is not bad, but what has been constructed and what has had to be destructed, you know, you take away, is that you don't no longer have to write everything out. You can speak into a microphone and it can really then say and write what you're saying. And it's just so many things. But then the way that we have gotten stuck sometimes because we don't move with the change. I look at Netflix and I think about, you know, when I think about Blockbuster, and I think about reason why is Blockbuster not still existing? Well, I don't think they wanted to deconstruct what they thought they knew in video. And so Netflix came and then it took out all the people, Hollywood videos. And now that the pandemic has come, Netflix and Amazon is almost taking out everybody. So they have been building while some of us got stuck to believe that the way that we were doing it was okay. And it's called the infrastructure too. You know, you don't just build from the outside, you got to build from the inside. And so I think that Netflix came and took over, and streaming and all these different things. And I believe if we're not careful, it's going to even take over cable, Spectrum. You know, I have a $220 bill every month that, you know, my husband is up there. We're in a different generation. My son has this generation. He's paying for 5 TVs and it can get everything and only paying $20. Mm-hmm. Well, when I go to his new home and see that and I ask him what he's doing, he's got Fire TV. He got Fire Stick. See, me and my husband was just so used to being in a certain kind of construction or some construct of structure that's the way we did things. And so we believed that it would be easier. We'd rather pay more is what we kept justifying. We'd rather pay and be able to have access to Spectrum and call them and they can come and da-da-da-da-da versus not knowing what to do. But what we really were being was pretty much afraid of change. So we were willing to pay more to stay stuck. So this week, we ordered Fire TVs. My husband, unbeknownst to him and his generation, didn't even know he could do it. And he did it last night. He did one TV, and he doesn't do the third. And now we're only paying $20 a month to have all 3 TVs. He watches TV, but we watch the same thing. So we don't even watch all that stuff. And so to me, in order to build, you know, and construct something, you've got to be willing to let something go. Thoughts and ideas, concepts, perceptions, and even acknowledge that you are a little more afraid because you've been so used to doing it this way, that this way seems okay. But when you look at your financial way, you're saying, I'm paying $220 a month where I can pay $220 for the whole year and get the same thing. So I'm saying you have to be willing to look at things different. And even if you're afraid, do it afraid. It's okay. Or say you don't know and be open to change and be open to someone guiding you through. And the young man that's selling it, he's doing this cable streaming, and it's a business for him. He lives in Florida, but he's my son's best friend, and he has always been an entrepreneur. He's always looking at what's the next thing to do. And so our thought was, you know, we have access to him just like we would Spectrum Cable people. We'll just call him if something goes wrong. And he's already said he'd be willing to be available to us. And then he said, if I can help get him other subscriber, we'll get it free. So, you know, like, wow, look at that.
And what is his service available to the public?
Yes.
And what is it? Just curious.
Well, I don't know exactly the name of it. You know what I mean? But I will find out.
Yeah, well, we'll try to get that and put that in the description of the podcast.
Yeah,
exactly.
Because he's a young African-American man. He was in the vacation piece. And now because of COVID, but he went right into the next thing, which is streaming. And so now he is selling streaming cable. You know, it's his business, and we send the money to him. And I guess however he does it. But it's like we were paying $220 a month. For all that, we have to have internet, but other than that, my husband did it, and he didn't think he could.
My observation of that is being willing to say, it's okay that I don't know something in order to allow something new to come in.
Exactly.
I think sometimes we get in that vein of thinking that feels insecure.
Exactly.
When we have to admit we don't know something, and it's okay not to know.
Exactly.
And you asking that got you to that point.
Exactly. When I went to my son's new home and I was like, God, y'all got to, what do y'all have? I don't see no boxes. And he explained it. And he, you know, and I told my husband, I said, well, I've got to let my husband buy into it because my husband tends to, you know, look at things. And we're both in that generation that we're used to. It's easier just to know who we're dealing with versus to try something new, you know. And I'm learning even with structure, it's okay to consider options. What is it that you want to spend your energy on? And that's where I feel like arranging the structure that you want. So I have to look at it and count the costs, meaning I have to evaluate, is this really where I want to spend my energy? Is this how I want to spend my energy? Is this the real structure I want to build around this situation, around this thought pattern, around this behavior? How much of it do I want to do? How much am I going to invest in? You got to be willing to arrange the situation to the point where it works as well for you. Because if you don't, what I've learned is that we overcommit and underproduce. And so when you overcommit and underproduce, you don't get anything anyway. So you end up in the same spot anyway.
That's good.
Yeah. And it helps you to create new patterns. You know, structure helps you to create new patterns. Again, you go back from the beginning of what we said, you have to be willing to let go of the old patterns of thinking and build new ones. So you have to create new patterns of thinking, behaving, emotions, all of that. You have to create all of those things and change. And structure helps you do that. It helps you to think different and look at things different and see things different. You know, 2020, when we first started on today's episode, we talked about being glad 2020 is over. So many people were looking for 2020, and I think it came and did exactly what it was supposed to do. It reconstructed us. It gave us new direction. It let us see different. It let us see things we never would have thought we could do. It pushed us to the brim of change. If you got through 2020, there's nothing you can't do. There is nothing you cannot accomplish, because 2020 caused all of us to think wider, deeper, more considerate, more strategic, more infrastructure. It created us to have to. Now, some of us, I ain't gonna even say have to, choose to.
Right.
We had to choose to be different, to know that the atmosphere of 2020 was set up for change.
It caused a lot of us to have to trim off the fat in our lives as well.
The things that were not as important as we thought.
Right.
The things we thought we couldn't live without.
Right.
The things
that we actually could.
That we actually could. And then it had us have opportunity to reposition and really create priorities. That is prior. That means you have to pry into something and order it in the way that you want to. And I think that's what structure does. It's a priority in your life. You pry it in. And then you order it by the way you position it for you to go into it.
That's a good little analogy on how to do that. Pry into it.
Yeah, you pry into it. And then you order it into the way that you want it to go.
That's good.
That's structure.
What would be the next step after that? After they've deconstructed and they're building.
And they've arranged and they've created new patterns and think different. I think the next step is to realize that you're building routines. And a routine is good. Being consistent. Showing up when you say you're going to. Not for other people, but for yourself. It helps you to be able to look at your thinking pattern in a different way. So I think that it's about routines and discipline and procedures. Let's just talk a little bit about routines, building your routine, whether it is you get up early morning. For me, I'm going to give you a routine. I like quietness in the morning. I don't like a whole lot of noise. I like to hear myself think, and I like to hear the God inside of me speak to me, or just anything that, you know, or just be so present that I can hear myself breathing. I have a husband of 27 years that's totally opposite of me. So I have to create a routine to get up earlier than he does. And even though we have a pretty nice sized home, I'm such a hearer in my natural sense, my spiritual sense, my emotional sense, my intellectual sense. I can hear. Somebody can be in three rooms down the hall and I can hear them. I'm a hearer. And so that means that noise attracts my hearing, the slightest noise. So I've had to build throughout the years of my life to get on this side of the track of my own life routines. And even when I first started this process, I think I may have mentioned it before, there was a book called Og Mandingo's Best Salesman in the World. And every morning, what that taught me is like it had scrolls in it for 30 days. And you got up every morning and you wrote in it every day. And the only thing you wrote about is what did you do from the time you got up in the morning to the time you went to bed. And whether you put your right foot on the floor first, you went to the bathroom, whatever you did, you brushed your teeth. It just made you more aware of yourself and your routines. Mm-hmm. And so I think that if you're going to deconstruct something, you need to rebuild something that's going to create new routines for you and you to be aware of them. And I think that those routines then help you build onto disciplines. Discipline, a lot of times we look at discipline and we almost look at it as a consequence. When I've heard people say, I've disciplined my child. Well, and the child looks at that discipline as a consequence. Really, you only discipline and create disciplines is called the disciple one. It's like you are being discipled yourself. So it's the disciple one. And so discipline is meaning that you're discipling yourself. You're making routines that's going to help you become the best version of what you have pre-ordered in your life. And so I think that it helps you to then create procedures. How do you want to proceed in life? What do you want? How do you want to be? What have you been thinking? And so a procedure is just something on how you go about doing things, right? Mm, yeah. And so that's all a procedure is. Procedure. It's something you think about. You want to become a pro at it. You seize it. You know what I'm saying? And then you do it. And so it's a procedure. It's that it becomes a part of your life. And so I think the structure helps you create guidance in your life as well. It kind of gives you a direction. It's like a roadmap. It's like a GPS. It guides you to where the direction in which you want to go. And so structure is really important. And that's when you take a part way, you build another part. And then the next part for me was, you know, processes. I had to learn new processes, processes of how I dressed, what I thought, how I presented myself to the world, not that I needed approval, just because I couldn't just say what was on the top of my head all the time. I was a fighter. I'm an A-type personality. I would say I'm an alpha person. I would say that when you do the five strengths, you know what I mean, all of mine line up to who I am. When you do the, you know, Myers-Briggs, you know, I am a very go-getter kind of girl. You know, I had to learn new filters, processes. I couldn't say everything I thought, even if it was true. Not everyone can handle your truth. It's all about how you present the truth to people. You really do want to win people and connect with them. So the Bible talks about don't throw your pearls before swine. But it also says that the tongue is the rudder of a ship. If you can rule your tongue, you can rule a city. And so a lot of us don't rule our tongues. We say what we want to say, how we want to say it, when we want to say it, and justify it. And so I know that for me, coming through the process of change, I had to change that structure of my tongue and those processes.
Thinking of that, it reminds me of the scripture. It says to present truth and love.
Mm-hmm.
And so those two are married. If you have too much love and no truth, that's not good. And if you have too much truth and no love, that's not good either. So those two have to be married. So when mm-hmm. you were saying really controlling your tongue, that's in essence, that's truth and love. You're learning restraint and mm-hmm. how to say it. And so
exactly.
That's really good. Because I know there are people in my life that will speak brutal truth and it'd be a lack of love in it. So it's really hard to receive that.
Yeah, it is. And I had to learn that because I've always been a truth teller, not only to other people, but to myself. I'm bluntly honest. That's why I'm calling this podcast, Changing the Person in the Mirror, because I do believe that I can only give you what I have. I cannot give you what I don't,
right.
That don't exist in me.
Yeah.
And so whatever it is you hear in my life or whatever you hear through this podcast, I am sharing from a perspective of a person who dealt with trauma in multiple levels. Mother gave her away, was sexually abused, really raped for 3 years by my foster father. Losing a respect for authority because I was put in a mental hospital for years and put on Thorazine and electroshock treatments and all of those things and these people were supposed to take care of me. But, those three events, those three traumas created so many other self-imposed traumas. Going to prison, five times, spending 17 and a half years there, living in lost identity, all of those things, having a hole in my soul. Hmm. So for the last 30 years, again, delayed development, you know what I mean? I had to go back and deal with childhood trauma and bring myself up to this place. So I have had to build these things in my life through many ways, through counseling, through support groups, all of those things that I had to do. And then to have enough energy remaining only in 3 years of my own process that I would get a vision called Having the Courage to Change and work with women over this last 25 years of my life. And now I know that they were part of the structure to keep me in line, to give me order, because helping them helped me. And so over these years, that consistent building into them was really holding me accountable to my life. It was building structure for me. It was building processes for me.
You know what I love that you talk about a lot related to change? You always bring it back to personal responsibility as well. And I mean, I've known people in the past that have just went into like self-help groups and they've wanted other people to change them and to walk them through without really taking on the personal responsibility of working through that change. And I love that you talk about how you personally looked at yourself. You were honest. You told yourself the truth, no matter what it was, you were just willing to walk into that. And that made such a profound difference.
And that's with everything, even like we're going to do in our next season, let's define recovery. And for me, when I talk about that series, I'm going to talk about what it was like to recover myself back.
Hmm.
And I mean, really brutally honest. The times I laid in the floor in fetal positions, the times that I immediately built walls against other men because I didn't trust them. That brutally honest. Mm. how I lost my own identity in believing that I was homosexual because I was lacking the nurturing of a mother. I'm talking recovering the truth for myself. Mm. I'm going to talk about that. Looking at how I could be into a organization that I work with and serve in and be a founder of a program, but the pain that I may have caused other people out of my own lack of seeing. I'm going to talk about how I had to recover my sight, how to recover my mind, how to recover my view of men, how I had to recover my view of my own identity. You know, recover is a lot of things. It's not just about drug and alcohol. It's about recovering the hole in your soul. So structure helps you do that as well.
And it's like guardrails or bumpers.
Exactly.
Around what you're doing.
Exactly. And you have to guard your, there's things you have to guard yourself against in structure as well. Boredom, blaming, complaining, complacency. You got to guard yourself against those things in your process of change and your structure. Because doing something, a routine long enough, and you keep doing it, if you're not careful, it's just like even an eating plan to be healthy or a workout plan. If you build that muscle so long, you may lose some weight in the beginning, but if you don't change the process and you stay the same and you get complacent and then you start complaining that you're not losing weight anymore or you're not feeling healthy or you're still as tired, well, you need to change it up. So you need to be mindful to also be, to guard yourself, to be so aware that you don't become bored of the structure you build, that you don't allow it to become a instrument that or a tool that uses itself against you.
That's really easy.
It is very easy.
Yeah.
It is very easy. And you have to be careful to not to, against the enemies of structure is what I call them, because there's enemies of structure. And if you're not careful, you'll fall into the trap of blaming situations that don't always turn out your way or you don't get the outcome you want. Well, then what do you need to change up in that structure to get a new outcome? Like it says, if I keep doing the same thing and expecting a different result, who's the crazy one? No, not someone outside of me, me. If I want something different, I must do something different to get a different outcome. So I just think that you have to really protect yourself, you know, and with that, you know, you create protection. And how do you do that? I think that you create protection through many ways. You do it with being aware and mindful of yourself. Like I said, you to thyself be true. You know, it's easy to blame other situations and people for what your outcome is not. But you must always take self-responsibility for what you want. You must, I must take responsibility of the choices I've made. If I look in the mirror every day and don't like what I see, I don't need to go ask someone else to change it. I need to ask me, what do I need to do different?
Right. The self-accountability.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, and you have to be willing to share your emotions, your thoughts, and your behaviors. When you're running into those situations that feel overwhelming or have an anxiety, share them with someone. Find your, making sure that you create, you know, a gratitude journal.
Oh, that's good.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Have a journal that you, keeps you grateful.
Yeah.
You have to connect and create a community that's going to hold you and be a support to you and to your structure, whatever that structure looks like. You have to be willing to build that in your own life. Nobody can build it for you. Only you can build it. Now, you can ask people to come along the journey, but only you can reach out to people to ask them to be a part of it.
Would you advise starting with one?
I say start with one, exactly. One person, is that what you're asking?
Yeah, one person rather than figuring, if you're building a community. I mean, obviously you want to have more than one eventually.
I think that the community can be your family, it can be your church, it can be support groups. There's NA, AA, there's, recovery as far as people who have been abused. There are support groups in that. I'm just saying there's not an excuse anymore. We are inundated with services. So people telling me they don't know what to do, or they don't know where to go, I just look at them and say, well, the first place you start is the person in the mirror.
That's right.
You know, because I'm telling you, I created a program because there was not a program that fit the bill of who I was. And so who I was I didn't go to prison because I was a drug addict. I went to the went to prison consistently because I was self-abusive and I was hurting and I was in pain. But there was no program out there for someone like me. So I had to go to a drug and alcohol program. Predominantly, that's what it was. Yes, it helped me. But what it also helped me do is realize that there are people that don't struggle with drug and alcohol. They just struggle with self-abuse and life-controlling issues. And they need to have a safe environment to become the best version of themselves without being labeled something besides broken. Most of us are broken. And so it depends on what you look in the mirror and see. What is the shattering part of your life that needs to be restructured and put back together? Because all of us are in pieces until we bring it together.
Amen. And so with that, we will end this episode of Structure as it relates to change, and we will see you guys next episode.
Hey there. Before you go, I wanted to share with you a cause that is very near and dear to Lucretia's heart. That is City Gospel Mission. City Gospel Mission has operated in the Cincinnati area since 1924. Providing recovery services to those who have life-controlling issues, food for the hungry, shelter for the homeless, youth services, and job services. To find out more about how to give or to volunteer, go to www.citygospelmission.org. That's www.citygospelmission.org. Thanks. You've been listening to the Embracing Change podcast. Music production and mastering by Gone Coastal Productions. Podcast editing and production by Jennifer Osborne. Podcast copyright 2021 by Lucretia Bowman.